Dear brethren and sisters in Christ, I'd like to begin with the reading words from the Bible. And I know that all of us heard them not once, and maybe not twice, and even not thrice, and even much more. This is Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, and verses from 16th. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into mountain, where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but someone doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Here we see well known to every one of us commandment. Go and teach. Go and make disciples. And the meaning of these words are very important for us just to understand that the truth must be exported. And as Pastor Ibrahim said yesterday, this touched me when he said that you have forgotten your history. You brought Christianity to Africa. And I understand that there was time when this truth was exported to this country. And so we know that our task is to export the truth to nations. And our Lord graciously gave us a tool for it, and this tool is language. So we can speak the truth to neighbors and to nations, or we can spread our thoughts in written form. Written form of the language helped us in due time to get the Word of God and in its fullness and in its beauty, so we might enjoy it, the Word of God, even now. In 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul wrote such words about the scripture, 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the Bible is filled with the truth, and our task is draw the truth from the Bible and bring it to nations and export this truth to people. And as I said, this is a commandment of our Lord. And a written word is profitable for teaching. Do you remember what happened with John, Apostle John, when he was exiled for the word of God and for testimony of Jesus Christ? He was on an island, Patmos, and he saw one day, he saw one like unto the Son of Man. And this like the Son of Man was Jesus himself. And Jesus laid his right hand on John and said, Fear not, and write. and right. Right. And nations need explanation of the word of God in written form, in written form. And so Jesus said, teach and write. Apostle Paul, by the way, the author of a great portion of the New Testament, loved books. We know it. At the end of his life, he wrote to Timothy and asked him to bring him books, 2 Timothy 4:13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when the comes, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. And we know that Paul was a very good exporter of the truth, and he really loved books. John Calvin influence on English speaking world. John Calvin's influence to the English speaking world is well known, but why his theology was so popular? Is popular even now. There are several reasons for it. First of all, God's providence. Second, brilliant logic. Third, absence of fog in theology. You know, when I don't know how to explain something, or even if I do not understand something, I try to put to switch on fog machine and cover what I do not understand with fog. And because of this, people may think that, oh, I do not understand what he's saying or writing, but he is very clever. So Calvin never did this, and his writing was very, very understandable and clever. And the next reason, and I think one of the main reasons after providence of God and very brilliant logic, is piping hot translations into English. John Calvin wrote, and his books were almost immediately translated into English and in other languages of Europe, European language, especially Dutch. Geneva awakening in the Europe and spreading good news. So you know better than me how one book by Martin Luther has changed the life of John Wesley. Wesley had been a missionary to the Indians. He was an Anglican priest. He had done open-air evangelism. He had been involved in prison ministry. He was an Oxford scholar. And his personal spiritual habits included reading the Bible and regular prayer and fasting. But he was uncertain in his salvation. So much religious activities, and he was not sure, was he saved or was he not? And he tried to read books, he tried to read the Bible, he prayed, he fasted, and no result. But once he was invited to a meeting where the situation with him was changed. John Wesley attended a meeting in Aldersgate. Someone read from Luther's preface to the Epistle to Romans. And here's testimony of Wesley himself. While about 8:45 p.m., while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins. And can you imagine scales with two bowls, many years of religious activities in one bowl and another one book? Amazing. This really amazing. George Whitefield, he was a member of the Holy Club at Oxford University, and he fasted and read the Bible and prayed a lot, but only after reading the book by Henry Scogel, The Life of God in the Soul of Man, he really and seriously cried unto God for salvation. One book. In one case, one book. In the other case, another book. But I think that you know British history and American history much better than me. So my task is here just to say about Reformed influence in Russian CIS. And this is quite a difficult question. Because CIS, this is Commonwealth of Independent States, is very questionable organization. And probably you know why, because there is a war between countries, or inside one country in the Ukraine. Probably, I have to say some words about Russian history just to understand why Russian church, even evangelical church, reject the truth. So Belarus, the country where I'm from, and Ukraine, up to 19th century, were not parts of Russia. And they were occupied by Russian tsars in 19th century. And before it, the Ukrainian lands and Belarus lands and Baltic lands, all of them were part of Europe. Eastern part, but part of Europe. Our people studied in Prague, Krakow, Paris, and other European universities. And in Vilna, we had our own university. And the first parts of the Belarus Bible in Belarus language were printed by Francis Skorina in 1517 in Prague. It was not the whole version of the Bible, but some books. And more fully version was printed in 1519 in Vilna. And at the time of Reformation, we had about 300 Reformed Calvinistic churches in our lands. And some Christian leaders even were in direct contact with John Calvin in writing letters. And it was great influence of Geneva on Poland for some time, on Belarus, and on western parts of Ukraine. But unfortunately, aggressive politics of Russia and the Austro-Hungarian Empire and Prussia, so they just divided our countries, our land, into three parts. So Poland was conquered and joined to Prussia, and the western Ukraine to Austro-Hungary, and Belarus came to Russia. And the foreign policy of Moscow state was formulated in 1523 by a Russian Orthodox monk. He wrote to Moscow prince, "Moscow is the third Rome, and the fourth Rome shall never be." This happened immediately after fall of Constantinople, Byzantium Empire. And when Turkish armies conquered Constantinople, Russian Tsar, he was prince, decided that it was high time for him to inherit Caesar's title. And he married a princess from Byzantium and declared himself as king, as Tsar, Caesar. He became Caesar, and automatically Moscow Patriarch became head of Orthodox Church. And Russian people became, at that time, a special nation. They were declared a special nation. They had a special mission to protect Eastern Orthodoxy and a mission to teach all neighbors how to live and how to believe and how to worship. And this vision that the nation has special task before God is very popular today. 2 weeks ago, Patriarch of Moscow said that the Russian world, it means that not Russia, but Russian world, Russian-speaking people around the world in the Ukraine, in Belarus, even in Baltic countries, are in danger, and we have to save them. These were words of Patriarch of Russian Orthodox Church. And at that time, in the 19th century, Russia conquered lands of Finland. They conquered Finland, Poland, Ukraine, and Belarus. And the policy in the 19th century was: Russia stands on three pillars, monarchy, orthodoxy, and nationalism. And you know, even after, during communist regime, we were taught in schools that we were special nation, and all our neighbors, silly, foolish, stupid, and so on. And really, and we were taught that the Russian people designed airplane first in the world, that the first railroad was built in Russia, and so on and so on. In school, from childhood, we were taught that we were special people, special nation. Russia had very aggressive Russification policy. Russification is a form of cultural and religious assimilation process during which non-Russian communities, voluntary or not voluntary, give up their culture, language, and religion in favor of the Russian one. So, why I say all these things? Just only for one reason, that this teaching badly influenced on the churches, even on Protestant churches. Because in Protestant churches, in genetic, probably, level, believers received assurance that they know how to believe, and they knew how to worship. We are taught even nowadays by propaganda that the Western world is evil, sinful, and as bad as it only can be. This is real. This is not fairy tales. This is in reality. Propaganda teaches us that Western people almost all are homosexual. And our president, Lukashenko, in Minsk, he said that he is hated by the Western leaders for the reason that he was a real male. It's just terrible things. Such politics formed, as I said, in genetic level assurance that Russian were just to Russian people were given the truth, and they had to protect it. As a result of this, it was very sad. And I'll try to explain. When I was converted in Mother Church and became Christian, it was at the end of the 80s, I was baptized in a Baptist church, I began to read the Bible more carefully. And immediately I met a great problem. Matthew 5:20, where Jesus said that, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter in the kingdom of God." And 29th, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee." And you know, just I realized that my righteousness in no way could exceed righteousness of Pharisees and of scribes. And I was shocked, I was afraid, it was written that I had to plug off my eye if it offended me, but the problem was that not only one eye offended me, but two. And I came to leaders of a church and asked them for help, because I was really afraid. And they said, just, Georgi, do not sin. I knew it. It was a real problem. At that time, I tell you that how worship was organized in the Russian churches. This is not critic. This is description of sad situation. Of rejection of theology, of teaching, of books. People gathered for worship, and the brethren gathered separately, those who were preachers, several, and they pray for a short time, and then a pastor says, you shall preach today. So then we went to sanctuary, seat, and everyone who was appointed for preaching today began to write notes on knees, not listening what was saying other people and so on. Just 5-6 minutes for preparation, and these were the sermons. Of course, with such attitude and with such bad situation, because before it, communists forbade just even Bibles. So we had no teaching at all. And it was very sad and it was very painful. We wanted to have them. And when I understood that whatever I knew, I already said to people one time, second time, for the third time, I wrote a letter to the Metropolitan Tabernacle and asked for some literature just to study. I got such book, with a letter, such book, and invitation to for seminary. And this is Baptist Confession of Faith, 1689. I opened it. Effectual calling. No, as usually, as a normal man, I from not from the very beginning, but where it is open. And it was chapter 10. Those whom God has predestinated to life, he is pleased in his appointment and accepted time to effectually call. And then scriptures. I was shocked. It was the first systematic theology book I ever saw. Second shock was when I saw bookshop, because Mr. Harley brought me directly from airport to Metropolitan Tabernacle, Sarah Gardens, and next morning I came to Tabernacle and saw bookshop. Such thick books, thicker than War and Peace by Leo Tolstoy. I was surprised how it was possible that silly, foolish, uneducated Western people wrote such books. The third shock was when I heard first sermons here in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Long, logical, scripturally proved. I began to pray that we in the Russian world someday shall see some books, good books. There were no at that time at all. And when I finished studying here, I went home and we began to translate some books and to translate books and publish a magazine. The question was, where to start? Where to start? We had a bad experience in our mother church. When I came back from Metropolitan Tabernacle, I told pastor about such thing as expository preaching. I said, what is? I explained just the Bible and verse after verse, the whole book. And he said, okay, it's very interesting, just would you like to take something? Yes, what? Ephesians. We began 2 or 3 weeks later. Two years when I was absent, people received some information about Western world and Western churches. And 3 or 4 weeks later, we were blamed for heresy, Calvinism. And the pastor forbade us to preach Calvinism in our mother church. So we started a new one, a reformed. Because of this bad experience, we just decided to start with more or less neutral literature, just because we would be rejected with the first book, just nobody would read further. And what is neutral? Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of Angry God. Then nobody noticed anything there and was well accepted. Spurgeon, Charles C.H. Spurgeon, was as icon for Russian believers. Because he was the Baptist, And because he was good evangelist, and because he preached brilliantly, nobody heard and nobody read anything by Spurgeon. And we decided to make, to translate and to do some books by the icon. It was 12 sermons on Christmas. Was well accepted. Then 12 sermons on election. This book displeased many leaders of the churches, but ordinary people accepted it very warmly. And then we translated and printed book 12 sermons by Charles Spurgeon on perseverance of the saints. It was a shock for the Baptist Union, and said we gave permission and asked Ministry of Foreign Affairs to permit you to go to London for studying, and you doing such bad things as spreading. And I said it's Spurgeon, and they invited me to the office, Baptist Union office. Three people were there, as gray as I am now, and I'm young man before them. And they began to teach me that I was wrong. And the subject was, of course, perseverance of the saints. And I said, but it is written. And I couldn't understand why they didn't understand that born above or newborn man is absolutely other person. And finally, the leader of the union said, Georgi, and how would we keep people in the church if we would teach them that born again man shall never lose salvation? They just stop, go to the church. And immediately words of Jesus came to mind. He said to Nicodemus, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Just, it was really shocking, because to keep people in the church by fear, not by grace. It was terrible. It was terrible. At that time, I thought that we became, unfortunately, Russian Orthodox Church without icons and without some rites and without the Virgin Mary. It was sad. But we continued to to print books, but the union gave order to burn all our books which they received. So many books were burned in Belarus. Books written by masters, books by Spurgeon, and many, like in 17th century or something like this. Just people, officials were burning these books. Influence. Last year, I was surprised that the second man of that Trinity, who invited me to the union, second one, at that time he was vice president of Baptist Union. Someone brought me tape and said, just listen here. And he said in his sermon that born again man cannot lose his salvation. The church is Armenian, more or less, but officially from the pulpit of the Central Church, Baptist Church, I was really surprised. And the other mark of spreading the truth is Lewis Berkhof's Systematic Theology. We didn't translate this book. It was translated in Belarus by other organization, but the book is very, very expensive for our readers, and several hundred copies were sold. We have only 350 churches, Baptist churches in Belarus. It means that there is an interest to real sound doctrine, and people willingly accept it, and this is really very, very good. We have not many churches, just only four churches, Reformed Baptist churches in Belarus. Not many. In the Ukraine, much more. And we printed books, and we published and printed magazine in the Ukraine till the time when a war began there. And this war made many, brought many problems. There are many churches, not many, but more Reformed churches in Russia, especially in Siberia, Irkutsk region. 50% of Baptist churches became Calvinistic there. But the problems about which I told earlier influenced badly on the situation there. People there became nationalists in that way. They support Putin, majority of them. So the bad thing is that probably all churches in Russia support Putin's policy, aggressive policy. To compare in the Ukraine, Russian policy is supported only by Russian Orthodox Church of Moscow Patriarch. There are two Russian Orthodox churches, Russian Orthodox Moscow and the Russian Orthodox Kyiv. And there only one church supports it. As for Belarus, majority of the churches support Putin, not Reformed churches. We do not support, some people do not agree with pastors, with leaders, but we understand that this is not the way how Reformed people have to receive such news. And especially when one of the members of parliament in Russia said that we shall turn America into a nuclear desert. And this is terrible. This is a terrible situation. Just and Patriarch Kirill, as I said, just 2 weeks ago, supported all these ideas. That he said that we shall fight up to the end. We have to overcome. This is sad. We have some influence, theological influence with the literature. But the problem is with the final effect, just good theology and no practical practical fruits. I just ask you, brethren and sisters, to pray for this so-called CIS situation, because Putin is at power more than 15 years, and I don't think that his advisors give him the real and true picture, even of this about the situation in the Ukraine, and when a man is so long has power, he's touching he's losing touch with reality. It's very dangerous because Russia has nuclear weapons. We just hope on God only. This is the only hope. It's really quite dangerous if you know that wars begin very easily. Just one man killed Prince Austro-Hungarian, and what happened? Just one shot changed the world. And so many people were killed during the First World War from Britain, from France, Russia, Germany. And the Second World War was more terrible. We shall pray for this situation and for influence.